All right. So thank you for the organizer. So the work that I will present has been done in close collaboration with Bill Dorland and Alex Cecuccin. So actually, the title of this talk is a bit misleading, I'm afraid. When I submitted to the organizer, I somehow underestimated the complexity of subLamar turbulence in low beta collisionless plasma. Yeah. Or I may rather say I overestimate my capacity to understand it. So I will talk mainly about inertial range kinetic physics. And if I have time, I will talk about subLamar turbulence at the end of the talk. All right, so the existence of the observation of LC Kolmogorov spectra for compressive fluctuation in the solar wind was long-standing puzzle in the solar wind community, because those fluctuations are supposed to be strongly lambda-damped in a collisionless plasma with a beta of order 1, like the solar wind at 1 AU. So why they are not is a question that I will address during this presentation. Okay, donc in the inertial range, in fact, the six-dimensional phase space can be reduced to four dimensions, where only the velocity parallel to the magnetic field survive as a kinetic variable. So as Alex explained in the previous talk, the cascade of free energy in phase space can be conceptualized as the superposition of two different types of mixing. So turbulent mixing of the fluctuating electric field and magnetic field, as well as the perturbed distribution function by the E cross B flow across the field line. So this is turbulence in the usual sense. So it involves the transfer of energy from a large scale toward a smaller and smaller scale. The other type of mixing is a phase mixing, so as Alex explained before. So this is due to the fast streaming of the particle along the field line. So it involves the transfer of free energy from fluid quantities to higher moment of the distribution function, higher velocity moment of the distribution function. So here you have a snapshot of ion acoustic turbulence. The abscissa represents the position space and the ordinate, the velocity space. So you can see that in a weakly collisional plasma, the whole phase space is highly turbulent. So let me introduce the theoretical framework that I used to address the question of the origin of compressive fluctuation in the solar wind. So I consider the long wavelength limit of gyrokinetic, which is known as a kinetic reduced MHD. So in this regime, the alvenic component of the cascade decoupled from the compressive fluctuation and involved according to the reduced MHD equations. So the dynamic of the system is fully determined by this reduced MHD equation. And the compressive component evolve according to two kinetic equations for passive scalar, which are advected by the alvenic turbulent background. So instead of solving this equation directly in velocity space using a fixed grid, I first expand the kinetic scalar in terms of the Hermite polynomial. So this Hermite formulation enables a spectral representation of velocity space. And it's also a natural way to separate the fluid part of the problem from the kinetic one. So the low moment of the Hermite polynomial corresponds to fluid, and the higher moment to kinetic. So it's also very interesting from a numerical point of view, as it makes the numerical scheme spectrally accurate in the V-parallel coordinate. So if you use this Hermite representation of velocity space, then the kinetic equation for the passive scalar become a hierarchy of fluid-like equations. So the streaming term in the equation couples each Hermite moment to the previous one and the next one. So this dynamical coupling of the different Hermite moments is a mathematical manifestation of the phase mixing in Hermite space. Of course, it's necessary to add some collision to regularize the system at a large velocity space. It's also physically necessary, as it will produce the entropy, and this is the way the plasma is heated. All right. So here is the equation for the kinetic passive scalar. So you have all the moments are advected by the same velocity, which evolve according to the reduced MHD equation. So this will trigger a cascade in K space. Higher moment coupled to lower one, so you have a cascade in Hermite space. All right, this is exactly what Alex mentioned in the previous talk. And once again, at large enough M, free energy is removed by collisions. So turbulence is due to this term, and the Landau damping or phase mixing is due to this term, which is linked with the free streaming. The streaming term in the kinetic equation. So if you drop the turbulent advection term, you can Fourier transform in the Z direction and introduce this variable. Then you can rewrite the kinetic equations in this form. So it's very convenient because now it's an advection equation form. So you can see that if you put a perturbation at low M, it will propagate through Hermite space, all right? And this corresponds to phase mixing. So you create a small scale in velocity space. And in Hermite space, this corresponds to a propagation of perturbation through Hermite space. So as Alex mentioned before, you can have also anti-phase mixing mode. So if you use now this decomposition, you can rewrite the equation in this form. And now you can see that you have two types of mode which propagate from low M to higher M, and mode which propagate from large M to low M. So you have phase mixing and anti-phase mixing mode. So if you put back the term linked with the advection by the turbulent alvenic background, you can rewrite the equation in this form. And you can see that, in fact, you can create anti-phase mixing mode out of phase mixing mode. So this is the manifestation of the echo that Alex was mentioning. So you can imagine a situation where you so you have a turbulence cascade in a Fourier space, a cascade in Hermite space. This turbulence cascade creates an antiphase mixing mode. And if the flux of antiphase mixing mode is equal to the flux of the phase mixing mode, then you shut down completely the phase mixing. So there is no Landau damping and so on. Right, so this theory has been applied to electrostatic drift kinetic equations. And the problem I'm interested in is electromagnetic. So there is no analytical solution for this. So numerics is needed. So I wrote a code using an open source MHD code. And actually, when you use Hermite polynomial, it's quite easy to build a kinetic code from a fluid one.
Is one of these people
So this is Hermite, and this is Fourier, and Asterix. So first I would like to mention the fact that in fact this puzzle about compressive fluctuation in the solar wind was not really considered as a puzzle even by the kinetic enthusiast people. Because they believe that, so in fact if you look at the equation for the kinetic scalar in a Lagrangian frame associated with the Alvenic turbulence, those equations are linear. So you do not expect a cascade in the parallel directions. So if there is no cascade in parallel direction, K parallel remains small, and compressive fluctuations are not strongly damped, because the Landau damping is proportional to K parallel. So Christopher Chen made some measurement of the statistical eddy shape of the turbulence in the solar wind using Ulysses spacecraft. So here you have the 3D statistical eddy shapes for the Alvenic part of the turbulence, and here for the compressive part of the turbulence. And you can see that the eddies are a bit more elongated along the field line directions, along the magnetic directions, than the Alvenic one. So this observation support the idea that in fact the Landau damping is weak because there is no cascade in K parallel. So I integrate the kinetic reduced MHD equations using the code I developed, and then I look at the spectra along the field line. So I compute the field line, and then I compute the spectrum along a lot of different field line. And I observed that the compressive fluctuations along the field line tracks the spectrum. The spectrum of the compressive fluctuation along the field line tracks the one of the advecting velocity. So K parallel do not remain small. So in fact, you have in such a situation you expect a strong Landau damping. All right. So the puzzle about the nature of compressive fluctuation is non-trivial, in fact. So maybe I will go fast on this. So I did the same calculation as Christian did, and I find some statistical eddy shape very close to what is observed in the solar wind. So the compressive component of the cascade, which is here the solid contour, are a bit more elongated than the Alvenic one, which is represented by the black netting. But this elongation is independent on the scale. All right, this is a large scale, and this is smaller and smaller scale. I look also at the perpendicular spectra, and you can see that the perpendicular spectra tracks the one of the advecting velocity field. So it suggests that in fact the kinetic scalar behave like a fluid. Right, so I also compute the flux of energy through the phase space. So here you have the Fourier wave number, and here the Hermite space. So the energy is transferred through the turbulence mixing in Fourier space, and the phase mixing term will push the energy from low M to higher M. So if you have the streamline represents so you can represent the flux using a streamline. So the X component of the streamline corresponds to the flux in Fourier space, and the Y component corresponds to the flux in the Hermite space. So if you have horizontal line, it means that there is absolutely no flux through M space. So you can see that at the forcing scale, you have a lot of phase mixing, but as soon as you enter the inertial range, the field line become horizontal, so there is a total suppression of phase mixing. And so we interpret this as a signature of stochastic echoes. All right. So maybe I have time to talk about sub-Larmor low beta turbulence. So I consider, so if you consider a low beta, in fact, you can get rid of the electron Larmor radius. So you can still have a four-dimensional problem. And so the asymptotic expansion of the kinetic under this approximation gives you this set of equations. So here is the continuity equations. So in the parallel direction, the ions are assumed to be motionless. So in fact, this term is parallel flows, because if you have a parallel electron flow which is not compensated by ion flow, it becomes a current. All right. So this is just the continuity equations. Here you have the momentum equation for the parallel electron flow here. You can see that the parallel electron flow is subject to two forces, electric field parallel to the magnetic field. So these two terms correspond to the electric field, and also a gradient of pressure along the magnetic field. The temperature evolves according to this equation, so it's advected by the E cross B flow. Temperature can increase or decrease due to compression of or rarefactions of the parallel electron flows, and also can increase or decrease due to heat flux here. And the heat flux is described by this hierarchy of equation using Hermit polynomials. So now the big difference between kinetic reduced and Krem equations, so low beta gyrokinetic, is that the compressive component is not passive anymore. All right. So this component coupled to the Alvenic part, and this makes a huge difference. So if you take the large scale limit of this equation, you you end up with the kinetic reduced MHD in the low beta regime. If you look at this equation between rho I and dE, you have the classical kinetic alpha and wave low beta equations. And then at sub electron scale, you have the electrostatic drift kinetic. So this has been studied theoretically by Alex and co-author, and also numerically in the context of fusion turbulence. So if you add a temperature gradient, you end up with something which is very important in fusion, which is ETG-driven kinetic turbulence. So in this regime, with a temperature gradient, it has been shown that the phase mixing is completely suppressed due to plasma echo. But I am interested by the transition between kinetic alpha and wave and electrostatic drift kinetic without any temperature gradient. And I believe that makes a huge difference. So just to say where this ordering may hold. So it's this ordering is relevant for the LAPD plasma device in some place in, at the edge of tokamak. And also, of course, it's relevant for the solar corona. So as you get closer to the solar corona, the beta drop, and you can end up with a system which is well described by the Krem equations. So here is a linear solution of these equations. So the Landau damping is, so you have here it's the analytical solution for the waves, all right? And this is a fit from my codes. And here you can see the ratio between the damping rate and the wave frequency. So at a scale lower than dE, you have very low Landau damping. And then as soon as you reach dE scale, you have a stronger Landau damping. All right. This is the numerical solution of the Krem equations given by my code. So let me show you the flux of free energy in this Krem system. So this is the free energy. and this is a flux of this quantity through a phase space. So as I said before, you do not expect a strong Landau damping at scale smaller than dE, k per dE equal 1. But what I observed a very strong Landau damping. So this is something quite surprising that I was not expected. You can see that you have a kind of fluidization of the system. So you see horizontal field line, but it's at you know, at the electrostatic scale. So it's quite surprising. So you expect from the linear theory, you expect strong Landau damping here and weak Landau damping here. But if you look at the turbulent system, you observe exactly the inverse. So this is a puzzle that I do not understand yet.
You just mislabeled the IQ.
So I think this might be linked to polarization alignment. So if you look at the Poisson bracket, you can rewrite the Poisson bracket in this form, right? So gradients are always perpendicular to a contour line, all right? Contour line describe the constant value of these two functions. So the gradients are always perpendicular to those contour lines. So if you have a solution which is either circularly symmetric or 1D, then this term will vanish. Right, just geometrically. I will show you an animation of this. Where is it? So here is a parallel electron flow, and you can see that the turbulence organizes itself into a circularly symmetric structure. So these structures are strongly turbulent. They are energetically, they dominate energetically the system, but they tend to make the nonlinear term low. Right, to minimize the nonlinear term, as you can see from this equations. So I look at in more detail about this polarization alignment. So I measure the angle between the dE, which is E cross B drift. And this term. So this corresponds to the shutting down of the nonlinear advecting term in the kinetic passive scalar equations. And what I observed, so I compute the PDF of this quantity, and I observed that the turbulence at a scale smaller than k per d equal 1, the angle between these two quantities is very close to zero. So you have the system self-organized so as to minimize the nonlinear term. And also I observed that these structures, which are circularly symmetric, they are strongly unbalanced. And so if you look at the echo term, in fact, as Alex explained, so the echo term will create a phase mixing mode out of unphase mixing mode if the wave number is reversed. But if the perturbations are strongly unbalanced, they all have the same parallel wave number. And the echo term is zero in this case. So it's so I'm not totally sure of this explanation. But I believe that this may explain why you observe very strong Landau damping at kd smaller than 1. So the nonlinear term tend to vanish, and also the echo term. So here is my conclusion. So in the inertial range, the nonlinear cascade scatter energy in the phase space, so as to generate the stochastic version of the plasma echo, and this kills the Landau damping. So in the inertial range, collisionless plasma turbulence behave in a more fluid-like than we expect. At sublarmor scale, in fact, the situation is very different. Nonlinear cascade scatter energy in the phase space so as to impede plasma echo. So in fact, you observe the strong phase mixing even at KD smaller than 1. So Landau damping probably play a key role at sub-Larmor scale. All right, thank you.
I had a question about this last argument about the alignment angle suppressing the land, the cascade in K-perp. It looked from your plot like maybe that theta angle was typically about 10 degrees, so you might have a factor of 5 reduction in the sort of advective nonlinearity. But if you were to imagine taking these results and extrapolating to a lower collisionality system where you took your sort of collision rate, ramped it down relative to what you have in your simulation. Maybe you only have to go another factor, or maybe you would go much farther than a factor of 5 in, say, M before, or S, before you would actually get any collisional dissipation. So I wonder if this effect where you're getting the strong Landau damping at K-perp TE of order 1 is limited to fairly collisional systems. Like, if you had a very collisionless system, wouldn't you need to reduce the effectiveness of that nonlinear advection term, the spatial advection term, by a much higher factor than 5 in order to recover phase mixing?
I'm not sure about that. So it's true that if you consider a very low collisionality, so you will increase the number of M here. And so even if you have a stronger phase mixing at low M, the speed at which the energy is cascaded through M space depend on M. And the speed gets smaller and smaller as you get through toward higher and higher M. So I expect, so if I put some more M here, I expect that this streamline of the flux will be uncurved like this. So maybe you will observe the echo, but at much more higher M. But you know, the Landau damping is the dissipation of the fluid quantity. So you are looking at the M, which are low. So even if you have an echo effect at very large M, it doesn't mean that the Landau damping is small. Because the Landau damping will be the flux of energy through M equal 3, basically. Yeah, so maybe it can turn around, it's true, and come back. But it will bypass all this scale. I'm not sure.
I've got one. Because there's a number of people in the audience who have been doing a lot of turbulence simulations and magnetized turbulence simulations and also with MMS and things like that, and people are looking more at velocity space, and given your experience with all these diagnostics, I thought it'd be useful to draw out from you some lessons that you learned when you were doing these diagnostics, like how accurately you need to trace the field lines to define the parallel direction, how many Hermite moments that you needed in order to actually capture the echo effect, this kind of thing. So in other words, if people in the audience are running kinetic simulations, you know, at what velocity space resolution do they need in order to start seeing these echo effects and things like that?
Well, I think you need a... I'm not sure, actually. I didn't did a scan study of... I think you need a sufficiently IRM.
Where sufficiently is.
I use 32. I use 32. But then if you use lower, then you are in not such a collisionless limit, so it's a bit annoying. So collision will start to play a role, and those collision will may influence the streamline, well, the flux of energy, of course. So to see the echo very clearly, I use a large number of M to make the field line completely here at low M, completely not influenced by collisions.
And about the tracing field lines?
So the field line, yeah, you need to be very accurate with the field line. So I try with, so I use adaptative fourth order Runge-Kutta method to track the field line. And I also use cubic spin interpolations. And I was very surprised, but it's quite hard to track the field line. And so I had a hard time to recover this minus two spectrum. So you need to be very, very accurate. So I tried different numerical scheme until I converge.
How do you deal with lack of periodicity as the field line? So if you're doing Fourier
transform. Yeah, so I put a window, Hamming window. So there is a spectral leaking here. You can see it. So yeah, it's not periodic. The field lines are not periodic, though, so you need to use a window. That's right.
I find both your and Alex's talk very stimulating, and I just thought if I could draw you out, maybe both of you in a discussion. Suppose I wanted to get these kinetic effects in a fluid formulation. There have been attempts in the past, as you know, in the literature, doing that. Hammett-Perkins damping is a good example of that. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is the effects of Landau damping are obviated by echo-type effects, what you call anti-mixing effects, and one ought to be careful about that. That's an interesting lesson learned. But if I have to ask myself, what level of fluid moments do I need to go to? And I really mean fluid, not the Vlasov continuum fluid. I'm talking about moment equations now. Is there a lesson learned on whether one can truncate at some lower level moment from the kinetic findings that we have from both you and Alex, and where that should lie?
So if you look at the in the inertial range, you can see that the Hermit moments are completely insulated from each other because of the echo. So you don't need a lot of Hermit moment, I believe. This is really like a fluid. So you can use a few scala to describe this turbulence.
But the non-locality of the process is a very important effect. You open a case space and non-locally configuration
space.
I think that's important. And I'm not sure
that what you described, will that fall in that?
Oh, sorry. And actually, I'm eager to give it back to you. Will that fall in that group, what you're just describing, to have something which is really non-local in configuration space?
So in configuration space, it's true that you can have a non-local interaction. So it's very difficult to get a closure. But in Hermit space, the transfer of energy is local. So I think if you look at this plot, you can see that the different Hermit moments get insulated from each other because the transfer of energy is local. I think you can use a fluid model, a Landau fluid model, very accurately to describe this kind of system. So there is only a phase mixing at the forcing scale, but you are not very interested by this. This is an artifact. But if you look at sub-Larmor turbulence, the situation is very different. So I'm not sure to understand why it's like this, but I try a lot of different configuration, and this feature is very robust.
So if I could just follow up on Matt's questions on the numerics front, something that I'm kind of curious about based on our own experience in the Jekyll group. If you run with too little Hermite resolution, do you get something like not sensible in terms of the Hermite spectra, or does it look like phase mixing? So that the fact that you run with too few Hermite moments, the sort of flux is just to the highest M that you're representing, and it just looks like phase mixing, even though the echo should be present, and you run into something like a resolution issue.
So if you use a few Hermite moments, you need a very high collisionality to remove the energy which is going out of the... So in fact, if you use a few Hermite moments, you need to be collisional. So if you do not put enough collisionality, then you will have a very lot of reflection of energy due to the hard wall boundary in M space. And this is something that you don't want.
So I think you said that in this simulation you had rho I be twice as large as DE.
No, it wasn't just for the benchmark.
Just for the benchmark?
Yeah, so here is rho I is here.
Okay, so looking at this plot, it looks like there's a decade of electromagnetic range and then the electrostatic range for KPFD larger than 1.
Yeah.
So could it be that what Alex mentioned earlier is indeed correct for as long as the term is electrostatic?
Yeah.
But if the term is electromagnetic, there is the possibility of having significant Landau.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's correct that in the electrostatic regime, where you expect stronger Landau damping, which is surprising, but this is not correct. So I try to push, this electron scale to a higher k, and I always find this feature. So it's not linked with the forcing. So this is a, And I also drive the turbulence by temperature gradient, like in the fusion context. And then the stochastic echo is very strong. If you force at m equals 3, then I see no phase mixing at all. So the situation is very different in ETG turbulence from a situation where you have a cascade of energy coming from a large MHD scale going to kinetic alpha and wave turbulence and then hitting the DE scale. The situation is different.
Oh, I'd just like to point out, it's not so much a question, but if you look at the results that Chris Chen made in with MMS observations where you don't have a problem with the number of Hermite moments that you keep, is that, that would fall somewhere around like a third to a half in K-perf delta E there. Yeah. So it's right in that range where you see strong Landau damping.
Yeah.
So, those observations are completely consistent with the fact that you are indeed seeing strong Landau damping at those scales in the simulation.
Yeah. But it's still quite surprising because I used to observe a lot of stochastic echoes. So I was expecting like the same kind of mechanism because the equation are very similar. The kinetic equation are very similar. But because the kinetic scalar are not passive anymore, you have a self-organization of those passive scalar with respect to the advecting velocity field. And this self-organization tend to impede the echotherm and the nonlinear turbulent mixing. I think it's quite non-trivial.
So it's important that the numerical simulations confirm the results of the observations, which otherwise would be suspect.
This is a benchmark of spacecraft.
Could I just come back on something this interaction that Nuno just had with Romain about electromagnetic versus electrostatic. This is true here, and presumably the kind of banal reason why it's true here. Is because the thermal speed of the electrons and therefore the rate of phase mixing, which is k parallel times v thermal e, is obviously very large compared to the phase speed of the kinetic alphane waves until they get to the k perp d scale. And so that's why you see horizontal flows of energy at very low m's, right? These are very low. These are kind of insulated. Kinetic alphane waves are actually insulated from the phase space. But if you somehow put energy, or if any energy slightly leaks out to larger m's, then that gets damped like there's no tomorrow. However, generally the point doesn't apply to electromagnetic turbulence, because the first part of his talk was all about electromagnetic turbulence. Which appeared to behave basically as if the field lines were not moving, but like it was, well, with some interesting exceptions that weren't there. So I don't think one can say, generically speaking, there is nice suppression of Landau damping electrostatically, but not electromagnetically.
I think it's, so there is no, from what I observed, there is no Landau damping suppression when the scalar is, the kinetic scalar is not passive anymore. So I think this makes a huge difference, because I observed really some of the structures that I show you, that the kind of cyclonic motion, there are structures which appear naturally in this kind of system, but I do not observe them at all in the inertial range, because the scalar are passive. There is no, you know, back effect of the passive, the kinetic scalar on the turbulence. So I think it's the main difference. But I agree, Alex, that the fact that the field line are quite always vertical here is not surprising, but you have still a lot of energy which is leaking. This is a surprise. This is a big surprise.
So I think we can say that we learned this morning that Landau is dead. Long live Landau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any more questions of a general nature of the whole morning? Anybody want to try that before we stop? Okay, then let's do that over lunch and thank Romain for his talk, please.
The lunch is served outside in the courtyard.